You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, hopefully you're hearing cracking from cans going on. Hi, my name's Steve Johnson. This is the Beer Tour Guy Show, episode 16. And, oh, I'm getting thirsty. I'm getting real thirsty here.
There you go.
Why don't you introduce yourself while you're pouring?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Dane Barch. I am owner and founder of Eastern Market Brewing Company in Detroit. We are just at our one-year mark, so we're pretty fresh in the city, right in the heart of Eastern Market.
Just like that. That's your intro. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah. I don't have crazy music or anything. We just go into it, don't we? Yeah. So what are we drinking right here? You just popped it. I'm super excited.
Yeah. So I brought three beers. This beer we actually just put on tap this week. It's a fruited New England style IPA. We put some apricot puree in the
That's
sky.
What I'm picking up on. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. So we found that we've definitely been experimenting in the New England style IPAs and I feel like we're starting to brew some pretty good ones. I also brought another one, which we can try in a second, which I think is probably our best IPA we've made to date.
Okay.
New England style. This one has got, it's kind of the end of summer, early fall. It's got some fruit in it. It's very refreshing.
Oh, it is. Since I got shorts on today and I biked over here, I don't know if you noticed that when you walked inside the studio over there that a bike was sitting there.
Yeah.
Because I live in Berkeley and we're here in the Royal Oak studio, so I can bike over because I'm like, this will be the last show I'll probably get to do that for for a while. So this is exactly what I was looking for.
This is perfect bike weather. It's not going to last for long, though, I don't think.
I know. I'm trying to like just get it all in. These last couple of rainy days suck because I'm also a mountain biker. So when it rains like this and all the leaves are falling, the trails get funky pretty fast.
Yeah.
And even if it dries up a little, you don't necessarily want to. Maybe I'm more fair weather rider, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Because I'm old.
Getting muddy.
Well, when you're old, you don't like getting muddy. You don't like hurting yourself anymore because you realize the medical bills, you know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I don't want that, right? I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. I don't like
But that's all right. Either. I try not to drink before I bike like that.
Do you bring beers on the ride?
I drink, well, most of the time. So the luxury of working for myself is that I mountain bike during the week. So like a day like this, like on a Wednesday, if it's nice out in the summer, I'm going out to somewhere cool. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always going to a brewery afterward to celebrate.
Got it.
So it's always like, oh, I need to eat and drink. So I'll go out and eat and drink after a cool ride. I always have that huge buzz from some fun activity, you know, and then you go to a brewery. So I plan a lot of the trips around that locally. We're so blessed here in Metro Detroit that we have so many cool places to go ride.
Yeah. I was going to ask, where do you ride?
Oh, man, all over the place. I'll go. There's this awesome trail that's like north of Chelsea. I always forget what town that's considered north of Chelsea, just north of Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it's called the DTE Foundation Trail. That mountain bike trail was professionally designed and groomed. So DTE Foundation gave money to kind of seed money to get the trails going. And then they've done some other Kickstarter campaigns that get more funding. And then they now have three different distinct loops. But because they're professionally designed, you know, you don't always get to go on trails like that. It's probably some of our only ones that are really pro level design here.
Yeah, yeah.
They flow like really well. So you're like a little kid when you're riding on them. So there's just lots of fun turns. You get lots of speed. And the trees are kind of spread out a little bit. So you're not constantly worrying about clipping trees with your handlebars or your head, you know?
Even
so,
worse.
Right? Yeah. So on that one, when I come back into Chelsea, there's Chelsea Ale House. So I'll hit them sometimes for lunch. There's also a Jet's Pizza over there that has a bar.
Really?
I know. It's the only one I've ever been to. And they do like a lunch buffet.
With beer.
With beer, right? So they have like a cool, just like a nice, you know, I don't know. There's probably more than this, but I think there's like 30 beers on draft.
Wow.
And it's all good craft selection, right? And they're constantly rotating. So you go in there and they got literally like Jet's Pizza and that. Like that's all you need.
After a ride?
Coming
that's a
out of
day.
A ride. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I usually come home, I'm pretty happy and you know, my wife has a real job and works 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So I'll come home and that'll be a long day because that's a solid hour plus to drive out there.
Yeah.
And then I'll ride for at least an hour and a half and then, you know, eat and drinking afterward for a while. So I'll do a full day like that. I'll get home before she'd be done working. She's been working all day.
Yeah.
She'll be like, how was your day? You know, with that whole jealousy thing going on.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway.
I'm jealous too. I would love to get into riding bikes, but I don't have time for that right now. Maybe someday.
That's because you're a business owner.
Yeah.
And your day kind of never ends, does it?
Yeah, it's always going on. Especially just the first year has been crazy. We've been super busy. You're just kind of planning, doing daily operations and then planning for the future too.
I mean, it's a regular thing. I mean, next year I'll be 10 years in on my tour business. So I get it because I remember the first couple years I felt like that just never ended. Yeah. I was constantly like, all right, this worked. All right, keep moving,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what you're doing because you know, things come up that you wouldn't have planned for and you got to make that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're switching brewers, you're switching beers, you're, you know, you got lots of small little details.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go back a little bit. So let's talk about it. You have two other partners, correct?
Yep. So there's actually, there's five of us total.
Oh, whoops. You yeah. have five total.
Well, yeah. So there's two that are kind of, we're involved day-to-day with two others that were involved day-to-day when
okay.
we're getting started. There's three of us that really got this brewery off the ground, but there's five of us total that are involved. And we all went to Northwestern together. We were college buddies and started this thing as a bit of a side hustle, and it's become more than that pretty quickly.
The side hustle turns into a full hustle with your other hustle?
Yeah. Well, so I actually left the day job last month.
Oh, congratulations. That's a big, big step.
Yeah, it was a big step. I was balancing that with family, and I live on a little farm, so we've got our animals.
Other side of what, Ann Arbor, Ipsy? I can't remember.
I'm on the north. East side of Ann Arbor, up towards South Lyon.
Okay,
so it's actually not terrible getting into Detroit. I can just jump on the highway there. But yeah, I was doing that. I actually had my second daughter. She is 12 weeks old now.
Holy cow! Yeah. Wait, you just left your other full time gig and
yeah.
kid pops out. Right?
Yeah, well, wow. the kid. I would say the kid led to leaving the full time job.
That, I could see that.
Everyone told me the second kid is exponentially more work than the first kid.
Well, and how old's your first?
My first one's 2.5.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
And so it was already tough balancing everything with how quickly the brewery is growing at with the 2.5-year-old, and then the second baby came, and I realized something's got to go, and it's not going to be the brewery, and it's not going to be family and friends, and so I made the tough decision to jump headfirst into the brewery with two little ones at home.
So have you gotten over the shock of the paycheck not going into your account anymore? Because that's a scary thing, isn't it?
I haven't even thought about that.
Oh,
yet,
I'm sorry. Then I'm not trying to freak you out on the air here.
Finish the spear. Yeah. No, to be honest. So that hasn't hit me yet. I'm sure I'll be thinking about it. But it's just been nice to be at the brewery full time.
Yeah.
Providing some leadership and just having someone there who's kind of responsible day to day. Also, at the same time, though, kind of what you're saying before, there's so many details on a daily basis that when you've got the day job, you kind of forget about those. Then you get there and you just realize, man, there's so much stuff to fix. And so my toughest thing right now is just balancing the day-to-day with taking a step back and thinking a little bit more long-term and more strategically.
Because now you have a chance to do that, sort of.
Yeah, it's just finding the time. I told all my staff today, I'm not going to be back after we do this podcast. I'm going to a coffee shop just so I can have a few hours just to concentrate and start thinking
I love
about
it.
Our long-term plans.
That's really important though.
Yeah, you got to do it. I haven't had a chance, to be honest, to do it since I joined full time, but I think today is the first day, and maybe I might do tomorrow too, depending on how today goes.
Yeah, tomorrow's gonna rain anyhow, right?
Yeah, might as well be in a coffee shop. Exactly.
Oh, that's cool. It took me a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, to leave my day job to run Motor City Brew Tours full time, and I don't think I thought I could. I don't know. It was everything was scary when I did that. I thought the world was going to end at first. It was my wife and I. We don't have kids, but you know, just two paychecks going in there, and it was a weird thing.
Yeah.
At first, and eventually you just adjust.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm in a totally different spot from that X years later.
Yeah.
And I would never go back. I don't regret it, and I love to hear that other people are, you know, doing that. That's so, it just gets me excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I had so much passion, and I was just constantly thinking about the business. And I did kind of feel like I was giving everything a portion of my mind. And it's nice to be able to just kind of focus on a couple of things as opposed to many things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, just family always comes first. And I was realizing that I had a pretty strenuous day job, and then I was trying to be at the brewery during my lunch breaks and after work and on the weekends. And then with the second kid coming, I was like, all right, I need to make a change, and jumped in head first.
Does that mean then that you help with childcare? Does your wife work full time?
My wife is an infant sleep consultant.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Which okay. is very nice with the two babies because they've always slept very well. But she does that from home. But it's been tough with the newest one. She's taking a little hiatus, but she's able to do that from home. And we are, just because her business is growing as well, we are going to start doing some childcare so that she can have some time to focus on her business.
Interesting.
But it's nice having me home a little bit more to help out. And then, like I said, I've got this farm, so we've got these animals that we've got to pay attention
do something.
To.
Yeah. What kind of animals do you have?
We have four goats now. We've got some chickens, and then we've got a llama, and then dogs, and yeah, it's a lot, but it's fun. It's something I do usually late at night, and it actually kind of relaxes me a little bit. I go out in the barn, hang out with the animals, make sure they're all taken care of.
You ever met Mark from Falling Down Beer Company?
I haven't.
He lives on a farm, really? Has a whole bunch of animals. Yeah, you know, if we played back my podcast, we had a whole conversation about that when I interviewed him on here.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So how long have you been on the farm?
So I was living in England and then moved back because my family's around here and I was ready to start having kids. And both my wife and I grew up like on farms or with horses. And
oh, okay.
So we kind of wanted that lifestyle.
And you knew what you were getting into. Sort of.
It's funny because you remember as a kid and you don't think about all the work that your parents
oh, that's
put
true.
Into it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You remember
right?
the fun part and not the work. But to be honest, the work for me is the fun part. It kind of okay. gets your mind off of everything else. But yeah, that was kind of our plan. And then the plan was to do the day job, start thinking about a business on the side, and it all just happened much quicker. We actually started the brewery because we were going to brew in my barn that at the time didn't have animals. So the
okay.
original plan was my buddies from Northwestern came to surprise me for my birthday right when I had moved back, and my barn was sitting there with no animals, and one of my buddies is a home brewer and said, hey, why don't we brew some beer in the barn? And I was like, well, it's just sitting there empty. We might as well. And then I can't remember if it was the same weekend or like the next weekend, but we went down to Eastern Market, stumbled on this building that was for sale, bought the building, and then all of a sudden, well, put an offer on the building. And we're like, wait, why would we brew at the barn when we have this building in Eastern Market that has this rich brewing history? And yeah, so the farm kind of did lead to the brewery in a bit of a roundabout way.
Okay. Talk more about this building then in Eastern Market. Like, you know some of the history of the building?
Yeah.
Basically, like, give me some history of this building.
Yeah, so we were just in Eastern Market on a Saturday. I was really trying to convince my friends that we're all still living in Chicago to move to Michigan. I realized that I was moving home and my buddies are all in Chicago.
Why shouldn't they, right?
Yeah, they should come and join me. And so that was another reason we started this business was I was like, all right, if I start a business, maybe I convince my buddies.
Where'd you live in Chicago?
I lived all over, but I spent most of my time in Bucktown and Wicker Park.
No way. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Do you know my back? You don't know that.
No.
So I lived in Chicago for 10 years before I relocated back here. So like post-college. So I went to Western Michigan University, and post-college I moved to Chicago. I unfortunately lived in the west suburbs for a few years, and then I moved downtown, and I was in Bucktown, Wicker Park. So what were my streets? I lived across from Lottie's Pub, if you can remember that bar.
Lottie's.
Lottie's would be a street over from Damon.
Yeah, yeah.
Damon and I can't think, oh my gosh, how bad is that? I can't think of the street name.
I was on Damon and Armitage, which I think is a little north of
Lottie's. Oh my God, I was so close. I was just right around the corner, basically.
When was this?
This is a while ago.
Yeah. So it was before Bucktown and Wicker Park were cool.
Well, it had already started to get cool.
Okay.
Because they filmed The Real World Chicago there while I was living there.
Got it.
And it was down the street, on the street I was living on. Really weird.
Yeah.
Like they even worked at, one of the people worked at Peace Brewery.
Oh, yeah, Peace. Yeah.
Yeah. And but, you know, you didn't even know that was going on. And then that was when I learned what gentrification was. I don't think I ever heard that term before. I must have missed that day in school.
Yeah.
And there were people picketing outside there. And I'm like, why are they picketing outside there? And it was because of the changes that were happening at Bucktown Wicker Park and how a lot of people, definitely a lot of Hispanics and a lot of lower income, were kind of getting pushed further west.
Especially Wicker Park.
Yeah, definitely Wicker Park. And because I remember I shopped at the Aldi that wasn't too far down Milwaukee there.
Yep.
And weren't a lot of white people shopping in there when I was doing that, right? And over time, that completely changed.
Yeah.
And then you had, you know, other parts of Bucktown became trendy. What was it, like North Bucktown and stuff you make up. And like the Western stop of the Blue Line wasn't crappy anymore. And, you know, things like that. So when did I move out of there? So I was married 02. So I was there up until about 01.
Okay.
And then I lived out kind of by O'Hare Airport for a year in a condo before I got relocated back, got married, and then got relocated back to Detroit.
Got it.
So anyway, I totally kind of cut off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we lived in, and actually some of the guys started the brew with, but we were in Bucktown. And this was a little bit later, but still wasn't like where it is today. And I actually remember we were in Bucktown and then for a year, and then our rent went up an insane amount. And so we moved down to Wicker Park, and then basically the same thing happened in Wicker Park. So.
Yeah, where do you think you'd live now?
I don't know.
Like, where were the cheaper, you know, like I know Logan Square even further over is where a lot of people probably got pushed, but
yeah,
even
like
that
Northwest
I'm sure is
now.
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I probably go there once or twice a year and hang out. It's amazing how many more, you still saw some of them. When I lived there, you only had a couple breweries.
Yeah, I hear there's 60 now, which is just insane.
I am totally not surprised by that. Every time I go there, I've hit a couple more newer ones.
And there's really good beer coming out in Chicago too, which is, I think, pretty cool. When I was there, there weren't a ton of breweries, and the beer was good, but it wasn't – you know, we'd go to get down to Goose Island. But
yeah, it was all about going to Goose Island then.
Yeah.
They used to have really cool street festivals still then.
Yep.
It was all kind of pre-AB InBev coming in and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was at a Great American Beer Festival – 2 weekends ago, and they had the Hayes category for the first time, and Chicago won, I think, 3 of the 6 award IPAs.
I gotta look at the results on that. Okay,
which was I think pretty impressive because it's obviously it's a New England style IPA, but Chicago took home 3 of the 6 trophies, which I thought was pretty.
There's just a lot. There's a lot more diversity there now with beer that you didn't have a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, you totally do. Yeah. So, okay, so I totally went off a little bit there.
That happens.
So now you're back here. You're looking at the building. You're convincing your Chicago friends to move here.
Yeah, so yeah, the backstory was I'm always kind of spontaneous, and we just saw a for sale sign that was basically falling down on the side of the building, and I was just curious, like, how much are buildings going for in this area? And I called the phone number, and no one answered the phone, and I actually forgot that I called because we all had busy lives. And 2 weeks later, the guy that owned the building called me back, and he said, there's a wine shop from New York that meant to open in this building. They've been doing due diligence for 9 months. The deal literally just fell through. I was going through my voicemails, and you happened to be the last voicemail of someone who called. And so he called me back. He gave me the price of the building, and I was dumbfounded because I just thought it was too low. And so I immediately called up my buddies and was like, hey guys, there's this property in Detroit. It's in this cool up and coming neighborhood with beautiful art everywhere. It's got this Saturday market. Would you guys be interested in investing? So we all threw some money together and bought the building. And before we knew it, we're like, all right, what are we going to do with this building? At that time, we were also talking about doing this brewery in my barn in my backyard. And
right.
So we're like, we might as well bring these two things together. And then just moved much quicker than I expected. Everyone told us it was going to take years to get the thing open because we had to completely gut the building, put all new infrastructure.
Yeah, you guys showed it to me pretty early on. I remember walking through there going, wow, a lot of work.
Yeah. But the funny thing is when you don't know what you're doing, you don't know the amount of work and you don't know the amount of time it takes. And so we just went after it and just kept pushing. And it took us – it was basically a year from when construction started to when we opened, which – looking back was really fast.
Yeah,
it is. At the time, it felt really slow. Our big milestones have always been at Easter Market after dark in Easter Market, which is the biggest night in Easter Market. All the businesses stay open on a Thursday. It's the third Thursday in September every year. So
they've done like 4 years of that now, I believe, the murals in the marketplace and then the after dark stuff's kind of tied into that.
Yeah.
Correct?
So murals in the market is the like week leading up to it. And Easter Market after dark is kind of like the finale and the big party.
And it's basically on your street.
Yeah. Well, it's most all around us, but us in the distillery actually block our streets and have a block party.
Right. There we go. Yeah. And Detroit City Distillery. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's always a really fun night, but a little more apricot New England for you. And then next up, we'll crack the new, please. Let's see. 3 years ago, we had just bought the building and we had just bought the building and we opened it up for Easter Market after dark and didn't really know what to expect. And people just came through with so much support. And for me, that was the moment when I realized, wow, a brewery could do really well here. It was just a barren space. We rented a popcorn maker the day before. We got a keg from every single brewery in Detroit and just gave away beer that evening. and had a really good time, and the community support was amazing. And I still meet people that 2 years later, like, I first found out about this place because I stumbled in your building in shambles and had free beer and popcorn. So that was like our first.
What a cool impression.
Yeah, it was really – I mean, the building, looking back, I wish we had taken more pictures, to be honest. I mean, it's just a really cool space. If you come to the brewery, we've tried to keep as much of that as possible. Like, we basically just put a layer on the walls so that, you know, they basically – the dust didn't come down. But everything is basically as we found it, plus the infrastructure we put in. So that was a few years ago. And then last year – that was 2 years ago. And then last year, we had our official opening on Eastern Market After Dark, which was a very stressful day. We got our approvals the day of the event. I
remember following everything on social as you guys were posting, thinking, wow, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and I actually had my day job then, and we had a team offsite, actually a department offsite. So it was a big corporate event. We're all there, and we're not supposed to be on our phones, and I was constantly checking my phone, and it was my partners being like, all right, health department's here. MLCC is doing their final inspection. And I was just waiting for something to go wrong because, you know, it's going to. And then miraculously, everything worked out, and we opened that evening. And actually, we didn't have enough beer to be open permanently. So basically, what we did is just did like a bunch of soft launches for a month, and then yeah, that was a year ago. And October 20th of last year was our official grand opening, and we're gonna have our first year anniversary in a few weeks.
How exciting!
Yeah,
I didn't know I was quite that clever at first. I'd had you on my hit list of I wanted to bring you on the show for a while.
Yeah,
and then as it's getting there, I'm like, October is like a year. Yeah. Sweet.
It's gone so fast. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work, but it's just like amazing what's happened in really 2 years. 2 years ago, if you asked me, we'd be sitting here talking about a brewery. I would have probably laughed.
Or that you left your day job and you're running a brewery. That sounds even crazier when you say it like that.
Yeah, I always had that dream, but you always think like it's going to happen in a few years and trying to be conservative about it. And yeah, it just happened much quicker than we expected.
So, okay. So let's see here. Let's talk a bit about brewers. So you guys started with a brewer, and now you've kind of moved on to some different people. Who do you got now? And how's that going?
Yeah. So Will Mundell is our head brewer. And he was a teacher in Detroit Public Schools, doing a lot of good. And from everyone I've talked to, incredible teacher. And he's also an incredible home brewer. And so Will came by quite a bit when we were first opening in our first year. And we just stayed in touch with them. At the time, we didn't really need a brewer, but I just kept hearing good things about him from the community. And so leading up to this summer, I knew Will would have the summer off, and we got in touch. And we actually we went through our entire menu, tried every single beer, and Will was positive, but also very critical of all the beers. And I was like, man, this guy, he's
going to make stuff better.
Yeah. Well, I was like, he's either going to make stuff better or he's going to give us a really hard time about our beer.
Right.
And then he busted out two bottles of his homebrew. We also tasted those, and he had the exact same attitude towards his own beers. And I was
okay.
Like, all right, this guy is just seeking not perfection, but really good beer. And so I loved that about him. And I thought there was some opportunity for our beer to improve. And so we ended up doing a summer internship basically with Will when he was off school. He came in and started brewing for us on the side, and he just started making incredible beer. And so we were getting really excited about Will, and just his attention to detail, the organization that he put into it was something that we really needed, especially at the time when I still had the day job. We realized that there's starting to be a lot of demand for our beer. We're having a hard time keeping up with our sales in the tap room. And then some bars were asking us for our beer. And at the time, we just couldn't keep up with the demand we needed. Part of it is we just need more equipment. But at the same time, I also felt like there were some opportunities in how we produce the beer, the timing, how long things were in fermentation, the styles of beers, et cetera. And so Will just brought a very methodical eye to that. And then that was coupled with his ability to brew just amazing beer. And so he did that all summer. And at the end of the summer, we brought him on full time, and he was promoted to our head brewer.
Okay.
And then Alex is another one of our brewers. He's been with us almost a year. He wasn't there right when we opened, but pretty soon after. Alex is really passionate about beer. He wanted to be a brewer. And we get so many people that come in and say, you know, I would love to be a brewer.
I'm sure you get that all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And I love the passion, but at the same time, it's like, we're really small, and so it takes, you know, you got to put the work in.
Sure.
And Alex was someone who's like, I'll do whatever it takes. And so he started off by basically just being a bartender, and then whenever someone needed help, he would help on the brew side. And then I noticed he started volunteering to join on brew days. I'd stop by during my lunch breaks, and I'd see Alex there. And Alex just kept learning about the system, and now he basically leads all of our cellaring and also does a lot of the brewing himself as well. So Alex has been a consistent from the beginning, and we're super lucky to have him. Plus, he's just a really personable guy. We were talking about it earlier.
I had a group in last time, I mean, he was talking to everybody in my group. Him and I were talking for a while. I had to eventually extract myself away so I could get the group back on the bus.
Yeah.
But I did want to continue talking to him.
Yeah.
I had I'm trying to think of what I had. It was like one of those odd styles, like a did you have like a white stout that had coffee?
Yeah,
like,
actually a real brought
interesting
it.
Coffee.
Yeah,
is that in here?
I
how funny. I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't look at everything that was on here.
Yeah, so that's we have a white coffee stout. Which
that's
isn't
right. White coffee stout.
But yeah. We can talk
that
about
was it. What our conversation was about for sure. I'm like, I don't get it. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I just know I enjoyed it, and I had a whole bunch of people in my group try it.
Yeah.
And everyone was definitely digging it. So he was excited because he saw people getting excited about it.
Yeah.
And going all into the details.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. We're super lucky to have those two guys. They're holding it down on the brew side. And then also, I think, just a great representation of the brewery. And it's fun being there day to day because I felt like before I was kind of barking orders while I was at my desk at the day job in between meetings. And it's now I feel like we just have a lot more camaraderie, which these guys already started. And I'm just lucky to be a part of that.
Yeah, you have Jacqueline?
Yeah, Jacqueline, Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie, sorry, yeah. Yeah, she's really friendly. I've definitely brought groups in, and she's been in there. She's my point of contact, right? When I email you, but then you forward to her because she's really your front of house. Is that?
Yeah, Jackie kind of does it all. She's been with us from before we started. She actually really helped get everything off the ground, and me and my partners wouldn't have been able to keep our day jobs without Jackie because she's always been the point of contact, just keeping the ship running. Now I just get so many emails, and it's like crazy trying to keep on top of them, but I always know that Jackie will kind of be there and be like,
sure.
Hey, Dane, you got to get back to this person ASAP. So she's been the person who's really the point for the brewery. She keeps the operations running, you know, in the front of the house, but also the back of the house. I mean, now we're starting to distribute our beer, and Jackie's on top of that, making sure that we have beer produced, that we're doing a lot of festivals these days. She's making sure that we're prepared for these festivals. I mean, she really does everything.
You guys have done a lot of special stuff just at Eastern Market itself.
Yeah.
And let's see, I was at that book fest. That's not what it's called, though.
Yeah, Detroit Book Fest.
Was that what it was called? Yeah. I was there, actually. I'll say this another way. I was one of the authors that was there, but my wife was at the table.
Oh, okay. What were you doing?
Well, what happened was I had a bike tour pop up on that day. So I literally dropped my wife off at the author signing section or something, right?
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of signed books and our whole Motor City Brew Tour set up with my Detroit beer history book. And then I left her. I think she had a girlfriend show up there at some point that was hanging out, right?
Yeah.
And then I leave, I go do the tour, and then I come back on the back end.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she kept telling people, my husband's coming back. He'll personalize the book, right? So then I come back, and there's a dozen people standing around
waiting
this table.
Waiting for your signature.
Yeah, but you guys were there with – you guys had some beer there, didn't you?
Yeah, we were there with Downey.
Yeah, that's right, with Downey. Yeah.
Who's making awesome beer there in Dearborn. But
I'm going to have an article published in Our Detroit next month in the November issue, and it's an interview with the Downey family.
Oh, cool.
And the dog, because the dog was, I don't know if you've seen their dog.
Uh-uh.
Jaeger, I believe is the name. Yeah, huge, huge dog. Yeah, he was all up in me as I was trying to take notes as they were talking to me, and I'll admit it. So we were having a lot of fun. They're real cool.
Yeah, they're great. They're great guys, great family, and they're also making really impressive beer.
Yeah, they're a whole other story, which is not why we're here today to go through that. But yeah, that's cool that you guys were both there. I don't even remember what I tried when I walked up there.
Yeah, so we collaborated on a beer. We made a Brut IPA.
That's right.
We put some white wine in as well, which is a really good beer. That was the first and so far only Brut beer that we've made, but we're going
to... Yeah, all these breweries seem to be kind of dabbling with that right now, trying to figure out what that should be.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is you got these New England styles popping up that are really juicy and kind of fruit forward, and that's the East Coast style, and the Brut IPAs really started in the San Francisco area, and I think it's almost their counter to that. So these dry IPAs, and they're really good if you do them well. I just haven't found a lot that are really good. Ours was good. Wasn't perfect, though.
I think I don't know what it's supposed to taste like. So I had it, and I didn't dislike it. I just think I didn't know.
Yeah.
I think it's education. Like any new styles, there's a little education to that. I was saying, what should this really be like? You know, like I know what a stout should taste like, or you know, I know what a traditional certain IPA should taste like, but I don't totally know a brut, right?
Yeah, they're pretty unique. I mean, they're both supposed to be very dry, and you're supposed to overcarbonate them a little bit just so that you actually get almost like that champagne feel. So you basically put an enzyme in during fermentation that pulls out the sweetness, to say it in the simplest terms. And it's hard to get it right, to use the right amount of the enzyme. And so, like I was saying, I was at Great American Beer Festival. And to be honest, there weren't a ton. I was actually surprised by the amount of brewed IPA that was out there. I thought there might be more. But I still, even out there, I haven't tried a ton of amazing ones. I know that they're doing a lot in San Francisco. So some point when I find some time, I'm going to go out there and try the style and try to get, try to see what it's supposed to taste like.
Was that your first time at the Great American Beer Festival?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's talk about that a bit then. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so we were there. We were actually pouring beer there. There weren't a ton of Michigan breweries.
Oh, yeah. I saw pictures of you guys there. Okay.
We went out. There's maybe less than 10 Michigan breweries for sure. And so for us, it was really just an opportunity for us to get away. And we were really focused on just kind of having fun with our staff. We sent Will and Alex out, like I mentioned, and then Jackie came as well. So the four of us were out there serving beer. And it was fun just to be a part of it. I mean, there's incredible – you're surrounded by just incredible breweries.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere.
The brew scene in Denver is amazing. And so when you're out there looking it up – like all the breweries I look up to, you're actually pouring beer next to them. It's kind
That's of just wild. Cool it's just wild to think of that.
Yeah. And I had a friend that I went to business school with that was living in Denver, who I forgot he was living in Denver. He showed up, and I was just like, man, like to think about where we've come in the last 2 years to the point where I was like just thinking about this to us actually serving beer at the Great American Beer Festival. That was awesome. It was fun. It's enormous. I mean, I can't put into words how big of a beer festival it is. You walk in, and you're just like, holy cow. It's run so efficiently too. I mean, everything is taken care of.
How'd you like to organize that event?
I can't imagine. Actually, the main point of contact we have, I think, is actually pointing out for every brewery. He has this awesome out-of-office message that basically you respond to him, and it's like a page long, and it just talks about all the things you should do. And if none of those solve it, he'll get back to you. And amazingly, he got back to us like within 24 hours. So yeah, it's really impressive what they do out there. And then just like all the great beer. It was pretty cool to see.
Have you been to Denver before?
I'd been to Denver, but it's probably been – I'd say like 7 or 8 years. And I actually distinctly remember visiting a bunch of breweries, but it was before I was into beer. So I was like
– whole different viewpoint now.
Yeah. I was just going and I was trying things and I thought that they were cool. And then going back now and actually like – first of all, they also have about 60 breweries. And so – and it was crazy. We would just go on walks, just explore the city, and we'd just walk by breweries on almost every corner. I remember we were going to a coffee shop. We probably walked like less than a mile and we walked by 4 breweries just near our Airbnb. And so there's so much beer out there and there's a lot of really good beer too. And so it was just cool to see what people were doing. You know, there's a couple of breweries that had a lot of great New England styles. There's some that were super traditional, just did like basically like German style lagers. It was cool to see. And that's what you have to do when there's that many breweries is you have to kind of find your niche and how you're going to differentiate yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of overdue to go back to Denver. It's probably been 15 years since I've really been out there. So my viewpoint would be a lot different now too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd love to live there someday, or at least in Colorado. I've always kind of thought of that as a state that would that would fit well. I have some friends who live in Fort Collins now, and they just love the lifestyle. They lived here for a lot of years, and then they moved out there for a job transfer, and they just love that area.
Everyone says that's the place to live in Colorado is Fort Collins, but people were loving Denver too. One cool thing about being one of a few Michigan breweries there is I did not realize the Michigan connection to Denver. And so the entire Great American Beer Festival, we would get tons of people come up and they'd say, I'm from Detroit. I'm from Ann Arbor. You know, I'm from Lansing. And our goal today was to visit every Michigan brewery. And that happened every few minutes. It was just crazy seeing how many people that were from Michigan were now in Denver. I asked them what they were doing out there, and they're like, most people said I came to visit and I'm never going back just because like of the outdoorsiness.
Right.
It's just a really cool place to live.
You could see that though if you think about it, because I mean, Michigan, we live in a state where we can do a lot outdoors and it's a great, you know, place to travel. But you could go to Colorado and come away with that same concept.
Yeah.
And then have the bonus of that they're getting like crazy awesome snow. And, you know, if you really like outdoors, there's even a lot more. You know, there's like real mountains and things like that, right? That would add to it. I guess that's probably the appeal for me. Being a mountain biker, a biker, that was always my appeal. Like all the things I dig are like way, you know, a lot more of there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're talking about mountain biking here. I'm sure there's awesome trails, but out there you've got the elevation.
Yeah, right? That's the big difference. I always say like here, I mean, I'd be like, you know, amateur level here compared to riding out there.
Yeah.
You know, because even going up into the northern part of Michigan is way different than being in Metro Detroit.
Like, yeah,
yeah. We just don't really have hills here. And I've mountain biked in the UP before. When I've gone to like the UP Beer Fest a couple times with the Guild, and I've done riding up there, up in Marquette, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I felt like I was so out of shape, but I really wasn't out of shape. I just wasn't in that kind of shape.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Different.
In Colorado, that would be like tenfold, I would assume.
Plus, there's just so much sun. I mean, it's sunny almost every day out there. And that was another thing people brought up a lot. And so we've had summer started out super hot. And then we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah,
but then
totally.
Got super rainy. And so they don't really have that out there.
No, I mean, they could get a bunch of snow and then the sun comes out and melts it all in Denver.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, that was how it was when I went there. I was amazed by that. So, all right, what'd you just crack open here?
So I cracked open our, what we call New New. It's our New England double IPA. It's funny. We just kept making New England style. I was trying to iterate and get it right, get the hairs right, get the flavor right. And we kept saying, this is the new New England. This is the new New England. And then we're like, you know what? Let's just call it New New.
I like that.
I'd actually say this is the best. Maybe the best IPA we've made today. Definitely the best New England style.
It's
pretty big. It's 8.7%.
I'm gonna have to bike pretty slow going home.
Yeah, maybe we don't have the whole thing. It's still afternoon.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I actually gave it to my. I brought it home for my wife. She had this for the first time, and she was pretty excited. She said this is the best beer she's had from us so far, and she's very critical, which I love.
I'll bet she is.
Yeah, so she's excited.
But we need someone to be critical in our life, don't we?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We got a critical brewer, critical wife. That's what you need to improve.
I don't know where I'd be with my business without my wife giving me criticism. Wow, this is really good. Oh, this is really juicy.
Yeah, it's super juicy, hazy. You can't see it in these red solar
cups. I know. It's hard with these cups.
But super hazy. I'm really proud of this beer. Will and Alex nailed it with this beer.
Wow, this is nice.
We're going to hopefully keep this on all the time or something like it. It's hard to get – I mean, I'll just be super transparent. It's hard to get the New England style right consistently. We've been brewing quite a few. We've nailed some. Some have been good but haven't kept the haze. And so there's just so many variables you're trying to play with. And so we're getting there, and I feel like we're going to have a pretty consistent product. But small batch like us, it's not easy to do. So that's been
– I could see that. I mean, even look at someone like, you know, Travis at Old Nation and – how much they did tons of tinkering till they got M43 and the other variants to where it's at. And they have a huge system over there now, of which they've added tons onto. And, you know, and he has years and years and years and years of experience and was in Germany and all this crazy background, right?
Yeah.
And he's a super, you know, scientific kind of mind with it. And
you have to be. Yeah.
And even all that, right?
Yeah.
And he worked on it forever. I remember being at a monthly tasting that Royal Oak Brewery does called Panel. Way before they officially launched, Old Nation officially launched M43, they really had all their German beers out at that point. If you remember what they originally came out in the market with, was a lot of German beers in bottles. And then they were tinkering with this thing, right, that eventually they called a New England IPA. They sure didn't call it M43 at that point. It was just, I don't know, test batch number or something.
Yeah.
And he showed up to this tasting with a bunch of Old Nation beers that we all got to try and a couple variants. Yeah, a couple of them. And no one knew what – I don't know. I didn't know what that should taste like, you know?
Yeah.
And he gave long explanations of it. It was real interesting. I didn't realize at the time how special that was till later that kind of sparked, you know, this new round of, you know, interesting innovations that breweries like yourself are doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, M43 really introduced the haze to Michigan. You know, in New England, they've been doing them for a few years now and making really great ones. But M43, which is up there with those ones on the East Coast, I've got a lot of Michigan pride. So I definitely believe that. But it really introduced it to the Michigan market, which is cool.
So what's some other beers you've been pretty proud of then in, like, say, the last year? Being a smaller player, you've done lots of stuff. I've had lots of different beers as I've come in.
Yeah, so we only have a 5-barrel system, and we – I mean, I probably can still say this. We've never brewed the same beer twice. We've – just over the past month or two since Will has gotten super involved, have we started to actually take recipes and just kind of iterate on them and done very similar recipes, but we still haven't brewed the same beer twice.
Okay.
So, you know, this new that we're drinking right now, super proud of that one. The other beer that has kind of came out of nowhere for us is this white coffee stout. It's always been a hit in the tap room. And you know you've done something right when people come back and start asking about it. And
sure.
So every time I talk to
you. I mean, I remembered it.
Yeah, you remembered it. You brought it up.
I sample a lot of beer, so.
Yeah. I think seeing a light coffee beer is pretty rare. You know, people often bring up Bean Flicker from outside, but it's not something you see quite a lot. And
I have to say I like the coffee better, though, on yours. Not to diss theirs, because theirs is the one I sort of look at for all of those.
Yeah. That's a great beer. I mean, it's one of the best light coffee beers I've had. But you know, even watching, I sat there with Will, did the cupping. The coffee comes from Great Lakes.
We have
a great partnership with in Detroit. And we did a cupping with their roaster and tried countless coffees to make sure we found the right coffee for that beer. And you know, we brewed it. We put cocoa nibs in it as well. This is the third iteration that I brought today, but the first one, definitely too much coffee. We had – I can't remember if we had cocoa nibs. If we did, we just had a little bit, and then we had a lot of coffee, and we set it on coffee and fermentation for a pretty long time. So that one was a good beer, but it was just like very coffee forward. The next one, we did a 2-to-1 ratio of coffee to cocoa nibs, and that one was really good. This one is the third iteration. It's 2-to-1. We set it on the coffee and the cocoa nibs a little bit less time, so it wasn't so bold. So it's a little more subtle, but still kind of in your face. You'll smell it. It smells like coffee.
Okay.
And then you get the sweetness of the coffee. And we change up the malts a little bit to give it a little bit of a lighter color. We call it a white coffee stout. It's not truly a stout. I'd probably say it's more like a ESB. But it definitely gives you that flavor profile that you oftentimes have in a stout. When I realized that was a hit is when we've been taking it to these festivals. And usually your IPAs are the first ones to go at a festival if you run out of beer. And all of a sudden, this white coffee stout was the beer that we kept running out of first, including up at Marquette, at the festival.
UP one, yeah.
Yeah. And then you also, when you're at these festivals, there's a million different beers to try. And people would come back and say, I want the white coffee. Or someone would come up and say, do you have white coffee? And I'd ask them how they heard about it. And said, oh, their friend told them. Or they were in line for food. And
that's your big tell.
Yeah. So that's been really exciting for us. It's quite a bit of work because the way that we do it, we actually have to transfer the beer quite a few times to get the coffee and the cocoa nibs right. But I think it's a beer that we're going to try to keep on pretty consistently. For us being such a small batch, it's really hard for us to keep the same beer on all the time.
How big is your system?
It's a 5-barrel system.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've got 3 fermenters. We got 3 fives and a 15. Next year, we're looking at putting in a few more fermenters, which will make life a little bit easier.
I would think so.
It also led us to right now, we basically have like 2 to 3 different yeast strains that we're working with. So we'll be able to expand that next year, which will be cool. Because like my favorite – I mean, one of my favorite beers and definitely our brewer's favorite beer is a Kolsch that we made. But, you know, Kolsch yeast is for making Kolsch.
And it is. That's really what it's meant for, being a hybrid style.
Yeah. So it's tough to – you know, we can't use it in a lot of other beers. And so adding some more fermenters allows us to keep a Kolsch on, which would be pretty cool. Right now, we just can't do lagers. We just don't have enough fermentation. We don't have the time to lager, but our brewers really want to. So I think if we add some more tanks, we'll be able to start lagering a little bit more.
Yeah, that's always when breweries are a few years in and you start to see that happen. You never see stuff like that out of the gate unless that was the only thing they were focusing on, like, say, Wolverine in Ann Arbor or something.
Yeah. I'm always super – I mean, Wolverine makes great beer. They won at Great American Beer Festival Award again this year, I think.
What did they win for? Was it Barista?
Have one with Barista. I think it's for their smoked beer.
Oh, it was. Oh, I don't know what that's called, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I never say the word right, like raunch. Yeah, I always want to say raunch.
Yeah,
but that's not how you say it.
Yeah,
I know I've had that there before. I don't get over to the west side as much as I'd like, but I've been in there multiple times.
Yeah,
yeah, their barista's a good coffee.
Really good.
That's a coffee blonde, right? Yeah,
no, it's a dark beer.
Is that a dark? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's
okay,
really good though.
Yeah, I like that beer. I'll usually get it when I'm in there.
Yeah,
I'm probably a little overdue to have some of their product. Yeah. So. You brought in canned beer, but it's a kind of canned on demand beer, basically, right? Is that what we should call that? I mean, a lot of breweries are doing this now.
Yeah.
You get kind of a base label approval, and then you write when you canned it on here, basically, in the style.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Is that become kind of that's the new growler for people, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously there were growlers. People bring in growlers quite a bit, and we don't do growlers, which is always a conversation with customers that have growlers.
I'm sure it is.
I've got tons of growlers at home. The issue with growlers are that you, one, as the brewery, you can't ensure cleanliness of, and it's no fault of the customer, but it's just hard to clean a growler.
Right. It is.
And, you know, sometimes like I've actually, I brought in a growler once to Wolverine when I was first, before I was even in the industry, and I handed it to the guy behind the bar and he was like, I'm not filling this. And then he's like, smell it. And I smelled it and I was just like, oh my God, it's terrible. And I was actually embarrassed. And I'd actually run it through the dishwasher and it just didn't get clean enough. So, you know, we're hypersensitive to making sure that our beer is in containers that ensures quality. And so that's always an issue, is just ensuring growlers are clean. And then also, just as soon as you pop that top, you basically have to drink it that day.
Sure.
So we had a lot of back and forth, and what we ended up, and then when we were opening, it was right when October Design came out with basically the Crowler machine, but it does 12 and 16 ounce cans.
Yeah. We're prider that you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been an option. Not that way.
The 32 ounce ones.
Yep.
So right when we were opening, they came out. We were one of the first breweries. They're from Michigan, which is awesome. Great guys. We love that company. But they were coming out with that machine. We ordered one super early and it's been awesome. I mean, we sell so many cans to go, which has been cool to get our beer out there, and we can do them in 16 and 12 ounce cans. We don't have to worry about the 32 ounce cans. 32 ounce cans are great if you're going to a party, but if you just want to consume some beers by yourself, that's a lot of beer.
It is.
Especially if it's like,
I don't think I'd be doing a double New England IPA.
Yeah,
that
you're
way.
Not drinking new out of the Crowler unless you're sharing it, for sure. Although, you know, we do get customers that also want the Crowlers because they're going to a party, and I kind of get that too. Maybe just down the road we actually have a Crowler. But yeah, we've had this machine.
That'd be a whole separate setup though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Luckily, they have a pretty small footprint. We basically have ours on the bar, but it'd be – yeah, we'd have to think about it. Honestly, ordering the – when you're our size, like ordering cans is
– the big deal.
Yeah. You can only order them in a pallet. So we get pallets of cans that come in. We order them every couple months. But yeah.
So you're doing a pallet of 12 ounce and a pallet of 16 ounce. So basically you got two pallets sitting in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we actually started out with three different can designs, but these blue ones with the elephants on them were always our biggest hit.
Oh, they really popped the best in my opinion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Like I was saying, when I was in the summer with that group full of brewers, and a million of these were popping on the bus afterward. I mean, it was noticeable. So, yeah.
And the other thing I like about them is we switched over to the can design that has the full pop.
Yeah. Top. Yeah, I noticed that.
And so I've seen a few breweries doing them in Michigan, but it's pretty unique to have the full pop top.
Rochester Mills is probably the first place I saw, but not all theirs do that. So yeah. I don't know if they've dumped that completely now.
Yeah.
Is there a different cost when you do it that way?
I think the tops are slightly more expensive. If you're probably at like Rochester Mills manufacturer, if you're, you know, production facility,
they're doing it at a bigger scale.
It adds up. For us, it's not, you know, it's not a huge difference. But for us, like this New England style, you want to be able to smell it, and you can't smell it with just like a regular.
Totally not.
You got to pour it into a glass.
Yeah, I could really look in there and be like, ooh, check that out.
Smell it. Look at the haze. Exactly. But yeah, it's really about the aroma, and it's just kind of unique. You don't see a ton of cans that way. So that's been fun. We've been doing those. We are going to come out with some new cans soon, because one of our transitions as we get into 1 year is actually having some staple beers. So we're excited. We're probably going to have three or four beers that we try to keep on at all times. Like I said, it probably won't be 100% of the time just because of our size, but there'll be three or four beers that we try to keep on the tap list all the time.
So do you see that like on a market day? So for Eastern Market, on a market day, on a Saturday, you're pretty busy. Do you get a lot of to go on a day like that?
Yeah. So we open at 10 on Saturdays.
Right.
And it's there are some people sitting in the tap room and drinking beers, but it's mostly people that are doing their shopping. They're getting their fresh produce. They swing by the brewery. They grab a six pack.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I love it. I wish – I'm always running tours on Saturdays, so I'm jealous of people that get – like I only get to do that a couple times a year.
Yeah.
So – but that's how my wife and I would shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, how fun. Like that night, we're going back, we're making some cool meal, and I got this awesome fresh beer with it. It's a total compliment to what you're doing. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, we love the crowd that is consistently there every Saturday.
It's got to be a happy crowd.
It's a great day. Think about it. You wake up, you're there before. The hardest thing about Saturdays in Eastern Market is parking, but you've beaten everyone else out there. You park, you go shop for fresh produce, you get meet all these awesome local vendors and farmers, you come get beer and you bring it home. My favorite days, even at home, are the days where I've gone through the market, bought some pasta from a vendor, got some fresh veggies, brought some of our beer back, and had a date night at home with my wife. So it's a pretty good day on Saturdays if you can stop by the market. And there's so many. I think the idea of like a farmer's market and a local brewery, they just go hand in hand.
So true.
I've got a post up on our website, on our blog, just about that. But I think that the synergies between farmers markets and breweries are just, they're, at the end of the day, like everything is so, I get on a soapbox about this, but everything's so commoditized.
Please do. No, I want you to. Yeah. I encourage you.
Everything is so commoditized these days, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I shop on Amazon more than most people, but at the end of the day, there's some things you want to actually believe in, and you want to meet the person that produces it, and it's just a balance, right? If you're going to be buying all your toilet paper and paper towel off Amazon, you want to get your beer, you want to get your produce from the source. And so being able to actually get your beer somewhere where you can see it brewed, you can meet the owner, you can meet the brewer, and then it being able to go to the market and meet the farmer and get your produce there, it just adds this emotional component that makes everything so much better. So when you go home and you're actually
like, it tastes better.
It tastes better. It really does.
I agree with that.
At the end of the day, you have to have great beer. There's no way around it. But if you can add that component of actually meeting the people that are making it and are passionate about it, then I think it adds to it. And it's not just beer. It's the same thing with food. Like if I'm cooking up fresh veggies and I remember meeting the farmer and I'm talking to my wife about the farmer as I'm doing it, I mean, that just changes the whole dynamic of the meal. It gives you something to talk about and you actually you think about where the food came from. Same thing with the beer.
Do you appreciate that more now that you're a small business owner?
Oh, for sure. I mean –
I do. Yeah. So I definitely changed my attitude a bit, right? Yeah. And now I live in Berkeley, which is a smaller community, right? It's only 2-point-something square miles, and we got a nice little downtown area. And I go out of my way to make sure I'm shopping in the little stores. I would say there's definitely a stretch of my life where I didn't really do that.
Yeah.
You know, I've probably done that in the beer industry for a long time, but I probably didn't do it in some of these other aspects. Now I've kind of changed my tune a bit. I'm like, you know, I really want those businesses to be able to prosper in that area. And Easter Market is, you know, even a bigger version of what that is because you have so many different vendors in there. So now you're saying, all right, I really want to be supporting these guys so they can keep doing their thing. But I'm in the same – you're in the same shoes with your business. So you hope people will treat you that way as you're kind of treating them.
Yeah. And I think – I mean, it just happens almost instinctively, you know, like if – now I see it more, but I think I've always seen it. I just didn't think about it. It's like when you step into a restaurant or a store and you look around, you know when there's an owner that's there and they're passionate about it and they care. You can just almost
I could tell right away.
You walk in. I always say this to our staff, but like the cleanliness of the bathroom is like always for me the number one thought of when I go into a place of whether or not they've got someone there that's passionate. And it doesn't have to be the owner necessarily, but a general manager or even the staff. If they care, if you look at the cleanliness of the bathroom, that's a huge thing. And then you just look around and you can tell if the details have been thought through. There's someone there just doing little things. And so, you know, as a small business owner who's focused on it 100%, I definitely see that and appreciate it more. And Easter Market too, it's jump-started so many businesses in Detroit and it's been there through the thick and the thin. And there's so many people that have used it. Even today, I mean, there's nowhere you can get groceries in Detroit unless you go to Whole Foods, which a lot of people can't afford. And so you can actually go to Easter Market, get affordable produce, and it brings so many different people together. It brings, you know, every income, every
There's a lot of diversity of people walking around. That's an easier way to say that. I would agree.
It's really cool to see, you know, just like and just watching like a farmer who's in his overalls interact with someone who's like grown up in Detroit and is you know wearing whatever. It's really cool to just see these interactions and everyone just kind of looks eye to eye and appreciates each other. I love Easter Market. I get really passionate about it.
No, clearly, that's why you guys went after that building. I totally see it. The second I heard you guys were going after that building, doing what you're doing at all, totally made sense to me. And I always felt that there should be a brewery there.
Yeah.
Considering there's so much beer history that's in Eastern Market. You know, I'm totally looking forward to coming out on whatever date, October 23rd.
20th.
No, 23rd?
20th.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Saturday.
No. What are you talking about?
Oh, when you're coming out.
No, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
When I'm coming out, I was trying to do a segue. I just didn't do it real good. I'm coming out. I'll be at your brewery on October 23rd. Let's see. That sounds like a Wednesday, I believe.
That's right.
That sounds right. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
And, I've already had tons of people sign up.
Yeah.
So if all those people show, we'll have like a cool crowd at the brewery talking about all the early beer history in Eastern Market. I think a lot of people don't realize how many breweries in the late 1800s, early 1900s existed in Eastern Market, you know, through kind of the boom and bust of big beer and eventually kind of Stroh's leaving. And then you guys come back. Like there's a huge gap when you think about it in that area. Like no one was making beer from, say, after 1985 until a year ago, less than a year ago, right? Like that's crazy when you think about it. But I'm excited to come out and kind of share in kind of that background history with folks, you know, in a very historic part of the city,
yeah.
You know, where we're seeing, you know, this new world opening up again. That's fun.
Yeah.
That gets me up in the morning. Yeah. When I get a chance like that. Like, I've done tons of beer history talks in the city and in Metro Detroit, but I've only had a handful where I get to do something like that cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm excited. Hopefully I'll have a huge crowd and we'll have a fun night and definitely drink lots of good beer.
Yeah.
So that'll be something.
Yeah, it's cool timing too, because it's sandwiched right in between our anniversary party and the 20th.
Yeah, I thought I didn't realize I was that clever when I did that. I didn't.
And then the weekend after is the beer festival in Eastern Market. So
that was my logic, right? Yeah. I wanted to pony up by that for sure. And then we're going to be – I'll be in the next – actually, I'm going to be in your brewery like – 3 days in a row. I haven't even told you the other date yet because I hadn't locked it in yet. Well, no, maybe I won't. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'll be in there at least 2 days in a row because I'm going to do that beer history talk.
Yeah.
And then another project that you guys are tied into is the Detroit Beer Experiment.
Yeah.
The 2018 version. So this is, for folks who don't know, this is the majority of the breweries in the city of Detroit. They collaborate. And this year the theme is Faygo, right?
Yeah.
And what I've done, this will be the second year I'm doing this. In fact, I did it with you last year too. You guys were like my last stop, and this year I won't do it that way. I've moved it around a little. But regardless, I'm calling a super brewery bus tour where I'm going to bring everyone down to try all these cool collaboration beers in one night, including what you guys are doing. I don't even have the full list of what the beers are yet.
I don't think everyone's finalized I think they finalized the style and they finalized the type of Faygo they're using. But I know not all the beers actually even been brewed yet. We actually brewed our beer yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. When I was in last, I made some mention to Alex about it. He's like, how do you know about that? And I'm like, well, I did this thing last year. Yeah, and he's like, oh yeah, he wasn't familiar with that part of it, but. I was excited. He was excited. I'm like, I'm coming back and we're going to do this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's on the 24th. So I'll be doing that the next day.
Oh, cool.
And then I actually have a private tour I'll be doing in the city the following day. So I'm like,
in Eastern Market all week.
Yeah, it'll be crazy.
We're actually going to release a new beer every day that week. So we're going to have a lot of fresh beer that week as well leading up to the festival.
It's going to be a fun week to be in the beer industry, won't it?
Yeah.
I love that timing. So you're right at your 1 year and then bam, festival and all this fun all at the same time.
Yeah. Week or two, but it's also a lot of fun. Our staff was just bringing up to me yesterday if we want to have a Halloween party. And I'm like, man, 1 year anniversary.
Where do you do that, right?
Well, we don't have time for Halloween.
Yeah, because when would you do the party? Would you do the party on Halloween? Like how does
– I think Halloween's like a Wednesday this year.
Yeah, it is. It's midweek, isn't it?
2.5-year-old. Yeah, but – yeah, we'll do something small probably.
Well, all right. I'd say that's about time. We're sitting here drinking our third beer, which we're going to continue to drink off air. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to this show to come out to Eastern Market Brewing Company right in the heart of the market there on 2515 Rybell Street. Go there and then go have a cocktail at Detroit City Distillery and do all your shopping and then take all that good stuff back home and make a real good meal that night. That's what I would encourage you guys to do, or come out there when they're doing their anniversary party, or when you're down for the Fall Beer Fest for the Guild the following week, or come on to my beer history talk. I encourage you to try all that. Dane, I want to thank you for your time coming on the show today. Everybody, if you want to get more information about this show, you go to beertourguide.com or my website, MotorCityBrewTours.com, or 20 other websites that I own the address to, or easternmarket.beer.
That's right. Yep.
Did I say it right? Okay. Yeah. I wanted to say it right.
Yeah. Everyone's confused because they don't have the .com in there, but yep.
But I think it's pretty awesome. So who doesn't want a .beer, exactly. Right? That'd be like a whole other show talking about that. And anyway, I want to thank you for your time and I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their day. Thanks for listening.